The Gospel reading, John 4, 4 through 18, 27 through 42. Jesus had to go to Samaria. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. The Samaritan woman asked, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with each other. Jesus responded, "If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave this well to us and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will never be thirsty again and will never need to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, get your husband and come back here." The woman replied, "I don't have a husband." "You are right to say I don't have a husband," Jesus answered. "You've had five husbands, and the man you're with now isn't your husband. You've spoken the truth." Just then, Jesus' disciples arrived and were shocked that he was talking with a woman, but no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman put down her water jar and went into the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who has told me everything I've done. Could this man be the Christ?" They left the city and went on their way to see Jesus. Many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's words when she testified, "He told me everything I've ever done." Many more believed because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world." For the word of God in scriptures, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Christy, and our choir, and our ability to step in for all people and all the ways that we step in. This is, I think, the beginning of Young Frankenstein for Steve and Matt and others, so get your tickets, go often. Thank you to all for worship and for brunch this morning. Will you pray with me, please? Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, that they might be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are our rock, our redeemer. Amen. So I'm just going to do a quick check-in because the sound sounds a little bit like weird to me. Can you all hear okay? In the back, can you hear okay? Sort of, balcony? Okay. Sounds a little like it's in a well. Speaking of wells. So it was just an ordinary day. Like the kind of day you just get up and make oatmeal and coffee and start your day. The kind of day that you just plan to do laundry or mow the grass or put gas in the car. Just an ordinary day. Just another trip to the well to get water, another quiet moment in the heat of the midday sun. But for her, there seemed to be a point to showing up at the midday sun. She went at noon, knowing no one else would go when it was so hot outside. And we don't specifically know why she went at noon, but perhaps it's because of the story Jesus already knows about her. Now, she came to the well expecting to be alone, hoping to leave without sharing a single word with anybody, but this day was different. In the middle of ordinary, there was a man there sitting by the well, and when he looked up, she didn't see judgment or disgust in his eyes. She saw something she didn't expect. maybe curiosity, and probably compassion. But what she will receive from this man is a whole lot more. She will receive redemption. Now we're finishing up our sermon series, our Welcome Home series today, and in this series, we've talked about those special and unique things that make this place a home, our home, and importantly, a house of the Lord. And we've shared that this is a house of prayer and praise, and if we don't start there, and if we don't be grounded in the prayer that we all do separately and corporately, then it's not a house worth going into at all. It's a place where we all belong, where we're known and loved just as we are, and a place where we still believe in miracles, and where we experience miracles, where we pray boldly for miracles, and yours are still sitting at the foot of the cross from the time we brought them forward. It's a place we find our purpose, our meaning, our why, and it's a purpose built on being made in the image of God. It's a place where we not only dare to dream dreams, but we know that we are called by God to dream dreams. And in fact, when we pay attention to our dreams and share them with one another, we find God's dreams given to us to guide us forward in our way. And so we finish today with the reason for it all. Why any of this matters at all. We finish today with the purpose of Jesus' life, the reason his death and resurrection means so much to us. And it's because this house is a house of redemption. This is a place where we can come with our stories of our deepest wounds and hurts. We can come bruised and battered from the world that has a tendency to do that to us. And it's a place where we will be healed up and loved up and redeemed by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And he asked for a drink of water. And she was startled. Everyone knew Jews didn't speak to Samaritans. It wasn't appropriate. And men certainly didn't speak to women in public. It was not appropriate. The lines were clear, the boundaries were drawn, the rules in place for generations, but here was this stranger crossing them all with one simple request for water. She didn't give him the drink, not yet, and instead she asked him perhaps what some of us, many of us, might ask when confronted with something that doesn't fit our expectation. Why are you asking me? How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Now, it is actually a question that lingers with us today, not just her question to him, but ours to God when things don't make sense to us. How is it that you would ask anything of me with my past and my failures and my broken relationships and my mistakes and my regrets? How would you speak anything to me to take part in the God work that God does in the world? Why would you, God, say anything to me? And we're not so different from her, are we? We carry our stories with us. We sometimes wear them on our sleeves, and others we bury deep where no one else can see or know. The stories of who we have been and the stories of who we are, some of them are so beautiful, and some we'd rather not tell or even remember. And yet, it is in these very stories, the ones we think are too messy and too complicated, that God chooses to meet us. It is in these stories that redemption begins. And we all have stories. Our lives, of course, are made up of them, the big moments that shape us, like graduations and weddings and births, and the losses along the way. Those small moments sometimes that seem insignificant until later and we understand how it fits in the story. And if we're honest, many of our stories have twists and turns we don't expect. Some of them carry shame, and some carry pain. I could have tears in my eyes thinking about the amount of pain and hurt that people in this room carry. Some are unresolved, waiting for an ending that we haven't yet found. What is the story that you carry with you today? Excuse me. The story that shapes you, the story that has defined you, maybe even one that you're afraid to tell. Because the woman at the well had her story too. She'd lived with it for so long that she had resigned herself to its conclusion, and she knew what people thought of her, and she had accepted it. She'd come to believe that this was who she was, a woman with a past, a woman who'd failed too many times, a woman who would always carry the weight of her story on her back like a heavy bucket of water. But the thing about Jesus is he doesn't see us as the world sees us. He doesn't see us the way that we see ourselves. Where others see failures, he lovingly sees potential. Where others see brokenness, he sees possibility and healing and hope. Where others see a story that is over, he sees a new chapter just waiting to be written slowly and softly. So when Jesus asked the woman at the well for a drink, he wasn't just asking her for water. He was offering her a chance to write her story forward with his love and mercy, a chance to stop living in the shadows of the past and step into the light of God's grace, a chance to be seen and known, not for her mistakes, but for who she truly was. And he doesn't use that as any story for some sort of moral judgment. There is nothing in him that says anything is happening wrong there other than the pain and shame she's carrying. Isn't that what we all long for? To be seen, to be known, to be loved, not in spite of our stories, but with them as all that we are. Now, as their conversation unfolded, something remarkable happened. Jesus told the woman that he could offer her living water, water that would satisfy her in a way that well water never could. And at first, she doesn't understand, of course. She was thinking in practical terms, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket. Where are you going with this guy? The well is really deep. Where are you going to get that living water?" That's a pretty good question, right? How often do we try to make sense of God's grace in practical terms? How often do we try to figure out how it works, how we can access it, how it fits into boxes that we've constructed for how God acts in our world? But the living water Jesus offers isn't something we can earn or measure or control. It's not something we draw from the well ourselves. Gift, freely given. It's grace. It's yours to have. It's the very presence of God meeting us in our need, in our brokenness, in our pain, in our shame, and offering us something that goes beyond anything we could possibly imagine. Jesus knows this woman's story before she says a word. He knows about having husbands in the past who probably let go of her as the way would have happened or were deceased. And she knows about her living condition now. The details of her life, the parts that she's trying to hold back, that she didn't want others to know and talk about. And he does not turn away. There is no judgment in his face or voice. He does not condemn her. Instead, he says, "Let go of the weight that you're carrying on your back." He offered her living water, water that would quench the thirst of her soul and that would cleanse her from the inside out. This is the heart of redemption, friends. Jesus doesn't just patch up the broken places in our lives. He offers something brand new. He offers us a chance to be transformed in and with all that we experience and even carry with us today. He knows all of our past. He knows all of our thoughts, and he knows that none of that defines who we are and who we will be. Our mistakes don't get the final word. The living water of God's grace does. Now, the woman at the well didn't expect her life to change that day. She really didn't. She just got up, made oatmeal, went and got water. But what she found was grace. And that grace changed everything. After her encounter with Jesus, she did something extraordinary. She left her water jar behind, the life-giving force of a water jar, the very thing she'd come for, and she ran back to the town that she had been avoiding, the people she'd been hiding from, the same town where others knew about her and where they'd gossiped about her and judged her. And now she came back so different. She wasn't ashamed. She had a story to shout out and to tell people. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the one, the Messiah? The very thing that had once brought her shame, her story, became the way she shared the good news and the details of her life. The mistakes, the regrets that had fallen apart, none of it was hidden anymore, and it was brought into the light of Christ. It was redeemed, it was grace, and it was good news for all. And the people of the town could hear that. They could respond to that. They knew her story, but they saw her differently. Because of her testimony, many of them came to believe in Jesus too. Her personal redemption became a doorway for others to encounter grace. Friends, that's what God does with our stories too. He doesn't erase them or pretend they didn't happen. Instead, he redeems them. He weaves them into the fabric of goodness, of life. He takes the parts of our lives we thought were beyond hope and he uses them as threads for the next part of the weave. He takes our brokenness and turns it into a testimony of his grace. That, my friends, brings us into our thoughts of the future. The future in our lives, the future of our day, just our day beyond this gathering time, and the future of this congregational body, who we are and what we will do and commit to, the future God is pulling us to. We've all come to this place with our stories. Some of you have been here for decades. And some for very short periods of time so far. Our stories are woven into the very fabric of this church from this moment on. But whether we've been here for a lifetime or just a little while, we're all part of something bigger. We're all part of a story that God is writing in and through the work that we do here. Now, what does it look like for us to embrace the kind of redemption that we see in the woman at the well? What does it look like for us to be a community that isn't afraid to tell our stories, to share the real, unvarnished truth of who we are and where we've been and what we've seen and how life has happened for us? What if we were the kind of church where people could come with their brokenness and their regrets and their shame and they find living water? What if we're the kind of church that doesn't just preach grace, but lived it day in and day out in the way that we love each other, the way that we trust each other, the way we embrace each other and all of our neighbors? Because that's the kind of church God is calling us to be. But we're no kind of church at all. A church rooted in grace, a church committed to telling the truth of our stories. A church always looking forward to the future that God is writing for us right now. And friends, that future doesn't happen by accident. It happens when we commit ourselves and all that we are, the stories of our lives, to the work of redemption. It happens when we make the decision to leave behind the things that have held us back. We will put down that heavy weight of our fear, our shame, our unwillingness to be vulnerable and step into the light of God's grace. The woman at the well left her jar behind and ran toward the future God was calling her to. What are we called to leave behind? What are the jars that we carry that are not at all part of God's plans for us? You personally? What do you need to leave here in this church today so you can go out free and unencumbered in joy and possibility? And what are we called to? Friends, the well is deep and the water is living and the story is still unfolding for your life, for our gathered lives here in community. So as we stand at the well today, let us bring our whole selves, our stories, our wounds, our fears, and place them in the hands of the one who offers us that water and grace. Let us commit ourselves to being a community filled with grace, operating on grace, a community of redemption, a community that is always looking toward the future that God has continued to write for us. Because the story isn't over and God is at work, still offering us each one the chance to be transformed from whomever came in the door today to all that is possible for you leaving. And today, as part of our service and as a closing part of our series here, we will show our commitment to the future of this house and to God's plans for good by coming forward with our commitment cards and bringing them forward with the strength of knowing that God continues to redeem all things. Now, the commitment cards are not about your pocketbooks. We do receive those gifts as well. But we also give up our time and our talents and our prayers and our willingness to talk to others in the world who need the hope that you hold. They need to know there is still grace for the broken and still hope for those who need healing. When you come forward with all that you are. You'll be invited at the time of offering. And whatever it is God is writing forward for us, may we all have the courage, the boldness, the strength, the possible little sense of yes, Lord. May we have the courage to say yes, Lord.